Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. Bill is up north enjoying some cooler weather. This is Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in with Ted Maxwell, also joining me. Happy Thursday, Ted.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate being here. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, well, listen, if you would like to join the conversation or talk with us, one of our guests, give us a call at 790-2040. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It was one of the most devastating attacks on our nation's soil since World War II. Almost 3,000 persons, including citizens of 90 other nations, were murdered that day. It is incumbent upon all of us to never forget, especially so now that we are 19 years later. And think about this, there's people who weren't even born then who are now reaching maturity. We kick off today's all 9/11 remembrance show with a man who personally experienced the horror of that day and the aftermath. He was on his way to a dental appointment when he heard the news on the radio. He immediately turned around and headed into Lower Manhattan. He's a retired FBI agent and currently the law enforcement analyst for CNN, James Gagliano. Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show.
Well, Ben, it's good to talk to you again, and I'm happy to join Ted as well. This is a privilege. I'm really excited to join you guys, even if it's sober and somber topic as always.
Well, James, I introduce it, and I tell you forget that. Can I just call you Jimmy?
Yes,
because we go back, brother. Right,
we do go back. Okay. Go
a
ways back.
All the back. Yeah, okay. Well, folks don't need to know that. But what introduced me to you and your story, Jimmy, was an article you wrote about your experiences on 9/11. And just share with our folks a little bit about that and your drive to the dentist and sort of what happened from there.
Well, the dentist piece of that is kind of like, you know, God's plan where there's a bigger picture, I guess, in your life as far as what you can control and whether you believe in God or fate or whatever it is. But I worked in Lower Manhattan in 2001. I was on an FBI NYPD counter-narcotics task force that was working in Lower Manhattan at 26 Federal Plaza. And I lived in upstate New York at the time, as I do now. And I would drive into work every morning, probably leave the house around 4:30 or 5, get in early, get a workout in, grab my coffee, the newspaper, and then be ready to seize the day by about 7:30 or 8 and head out to the streets and do what we did in those days to drive crime down. And just as you pointed out, on that day, September 11th, 2001, I had scheduled a dental appointment out in Queens, and it was going to be a little later, around 9:30 or 10 o'clock. And so I left later than normal and was headed out to Queens when the first plane hit. And then was following the news reports on it, thought it was an accident, like I think everybody else did, until the second plane hit, and we were all clued in that America was under attack. And that's when I turned the car around and went screeching into Manhattan, and the NYPD had closed off all the bridges and tunnel entrances into the city at that time. I was obviously able to, with my flashing lights and siren, get onto the east side ingress, which is the Harlem River Drive down to the FDR, which brings you from the top of Manhattan all the way down into Lower Manhattan. And it's probably about a 10 or 12 mile stretch. And I think I closed in on 100 miles an hour and passed zero cars. It was the most eerie thing to see the two towers smoking and just to know that at that time, guys, as I think it was for everybody that was either there or watching it on TV or following it closely, our world changed that day.
Jimmy, when did you arrive? As I understand it, had the first tower already come down when you got close, or?
No, so when I got out on foot, and again, when you talk about fate or you talk about God's plan, I had a week earlier, I had just torn the ACL in my leg, and so I was in a cast. And so I jumped out of my car, I went hobbling over to 26 Federal Plaza to pick up my medical kit. I was a HRT, FBI hostage rescue team medic when I was serving on HRT. I still had a medical kit, a combat medic bag, and I was hobbling as quickly as I could over to 26 Federal Plaza to pick it up. And just as I got to the main plaza there, now you got to, if people don't understand the way New York City is set up, you know, this is all in the lower bowels or the lower end of the city, probably about 8 blocks away from the World Trade Center. That's when the first tower came down. So I didn't see it, but I felt it. And certainly as I was moving in that direction with my medical bag, saw the the cloud of smoke and debris and pulverized concrete and everything else come moving up Church Street where I was on, which was one of the thoroughfares that runs north south in New York City. So close. If I'd have gotten in maybe 30 minutes sooner or maybe 20 minutes sooner, I probably would have been in the building at that time. We lost two FBI agents at the in the Trade Tower, and that's nowhere near the 343 firefighters from the FDNY or the 23 NYPD cops or the, I think it's 30 and change, I can't remember the exact number, 35 Port Authority Police Department officers that were killed in the Trade Center. But we lost two of our own that day too. And like I said, I was just on that day, for whatever it was, luck, serendipity, whatever it was, just happened to be about 20 minutes away from being down there actually inside the building.
Jimmy, I tell you, my reaction way out here on the West Coast watching this on television, like a lot of Americans, I hearken back to the film of the Hindenburg, and I think the narrator's, saying, oh, the horror. I've seen, for people who aren't familiar, who've never been to had never been to those towers, as I understand it, each floor was about an acre in size. You got 110 floors, and the second tower came down in 11 seconds, billions of pounds of rubble.
And when you think about it, 110 stories tall each building were. And, engineering has come a long way in the decades since. I believe the buildings were completed in the early 1970s. But, these buildings still were built to withstand, huge gusts of wind and even built to withstand a small prop plane, accidentally getting off course and crashing into it. What they weren't designed to do was to stop, jet airliners that were loaded with a full fuel capacity for a cross-country flight. They weren't built to withstand that. And unfortunately, the heat from all the jet fuel that was burning, which I think burns in excess of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, just ended up melting the girders and melting the iron structure, and then, of course, even the concrete. And as you said, Ben, when those floors started to pancake at the top, when they started, the weight was so much and the force was so much, it just collapsed so quickly. And look, we lost over 2,000 Americans there that day. The calculus, if those buildings had toppled over to the right, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, would have been even worse in taking out other buildings. The fact that they ended up right in the footprint where there are now two big ponds that the 9/11 museum folks have put together. A very, very solemn place. And if your listeners have not had a chance to go visit it at some point in time, if you get to Manhattan, guys, it's well worth the visit.
Jimmy, we've only got a couple minutes before we have to take our first break, and I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy despite COVID. What should people be thinking about this September 11th from your perspective?
Wow. Well, let me just knit it together by saying this. And I hate to use the term silver lining. It's a day like that where we lost 3,000 Americans in the still most catastrophic attack on U.S. soil in our nation's 244-year history. I think the one takeaway I had was the feeling, I think, that we all shared in the aftermath of 9/11 immediately. We didn't even wait till September 12th of 2001 to come together and coalesce as a nation and say, put aside the party bickering, the partisan politics, the red states or blue states, or what your race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, put all those other things aside. We're Americans now, and we've been attacked, and we're going to come together. I look at where we are right now as a country heading into November 3rd and the election, and keeping politics out of this, I just look at how divided and how riven we are. And I remember the spirit, really, when you look at it, it's like the American spirit that coming together on September 12th and saying, one, we're going to find the people that did this and bring them to justice. And number two, we're going to rebuild. And that's what we've done down in Lower Manhattan. There's a beautiful building down there now that's 1,776 feet high and represents, when our country was founded. I wish that we could get back to, without going through another 9/11, I wish we could get back to the way our country was, guys, on September 12th. That's what we really all should shoot for.
What a great perspective, Jimmy. Now, what are you and your wife doing yourselves on September 11th? You're going to put on those shorts, and what are your plans?
Well, my wife usually does the Tunnel to Towers run. There's the Stephen J. Siller Tunnel to Tower run, and basically it represents one of the firefighters that was on the Brooklyn side of the tunnel, ran through the Battery tunnel with all of his gear on to get to the Trade Towers. And so he ended up perishing there, and his brother every year has now put on this race, which goes through the tower from Brooklyn into Manhattan. I think it's maybe 3 miles or something like that. And then the proceeds from that go towards helping out families that have lost, you know, loved ones that have given the ultimate sacrifice in the military, you know, fighting the global war on terror, or firefighters or police officers who were killed in the line of duty, paying for their mortgages so that they never have to make another house payment again. So really wonderful thing. I'm going to do mine in the garage, Ben. I promised you that I was going to make it out there for 1 year when you do it again out there at the University of Arizona. And once this COVID insanity stops and we get back to some sense of normalcy here, I promise you we'll see both of us out there. We'll do something close to it this year here in our local garage.
Outstanding. Jimmy, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. And folks, you can look for him. Jimmy is all things law enforcement on CNN. Check him out when you get a chance. James, be safe and take care.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me join.
Of course.
Thank you, Jimmy.
When we come back, we'll talk more with another person who vividly recalls that day. He was the commander of the 162nd Arizona Air National Guard Fighter Wing on that fateful day. Brigadier General Ron Schutman, when we return after this short break.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, coming to you from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. Ben Buehler-Garcia and Major General Ted Maxwell sitting in for Bill today. We're talking about 9/11. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 790-2020, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Before we get to our next guest, just a reminder that, trust me, folks, cooler weather is right around the corner. If you're planning your fall garden, you definitely need to make a visit to Green Things. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for all your gardening needs. Their 13-acre site on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, is also home to Socolo Village, where you can find fine imported Mexican and Latin American furniture and art. Green Things is a must-stop for Laura and I when we're planning both our vegetable gardens and our patio decorative plans. You should check them out. Visit greenthingsaz.com and socolovillage.com. Ted, you retired as a major general, and for the civilians out there, that's 2 stars, correct?
That's correct, Ben.
But on September 11th, on September 11th, 2001, you were not a general yet, but the next fellow we have on was... And you had a relationship, and just, I can't imagine what that day was like for those people who had to jump in a cockpit, but take it from there, Ted.
Well, I'm telling you, what I'm excited about having General Shootman join us this morning is, I start thinking about it when you said, let's do this 9/11 show. I was a young major. I was just a pilot. I flew F-16s. I was actually in bed when the first tower got hit because I was night flying that night. And within hours, I got a phone call from the wing saying, don't call us. We don't know what's going on. We'll call you back. And it was probably over 24 hours that before I even got a call to start thinking about coming into work. The 162nd, which General Shootman, we're glad to have you on with us today. He was the wing commander out at the time, and it was a training unit. It had been a training unit for years. And all of a sudden, on that day, they found themselves dealing with a real world situation. And it changed the Arizona Air National Guard and the 162nd forever on that day. And I'm looking forward to hearing from General Shootman what that was like.
Well, there you go. Ron, welcome to, I almost said American Warrior Radio, sorry, the Bill Buckmaster Show. Got to figure out where I am. Ron, for you, that, I mean, I suppose you trained to fight like you fight, but this, wow. What was the first thing that crossed your mind when you saw what we realized was going on?
Well, Ben, it's great to be on with you and Ted. I will tell you that it was unexpected for me, as it was for everyone. We were a training wing, as Ted suggested, and I had flown an F-16 down to San Antonio to attend a commander's conference for all the training wings in the Air Force. I was in a meeting with the commander of 19th Air Force with 18 other wing commanders. And we were talking about all the normal things you talk about, you know, training, throughput, and status of aircraft, when suddenly a young major burst into the room and turned on a television at the front of that room. And 19 leaders, including the commander, sat in silence as we watched the second tower fall. All of us knew that we would be tasked in some way to respond to this, but at that point we didn't know how. It was interesting. It speaks to the kind of people that populate our Air Force. The commander called a chaplain, and the first thing we did before we took on the next order of business was to pray. And that allowed us to sort of get our minds right and ready to go. Very soon, the wing got orders to put F-16s on alert. And we hadn't done that. We were a training wing, and we needed to get aircraft ready with pilots ready, and if nothing else, get them on the ramp armed with at least a gun, and within hours, we had done that. So it was interesting. You know, you don't need a wing commander necessarily to make things happen. We have a great team of men and women at the 162nd. And they began doing all this work well before I was able to get back and take command of the wing to oversee the rest of the stand-up.
General Schuman, there, over that time, to go from a training wing to being a unit that eventually was operating out of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, fully armed F-16s, with the capability of being airborne in less than a minute, what were the challenges that you experienced going through that, and what were the big events that occurred that really showed you that you could trust the men and women of the wing to do what they did?
Great question, Ted. First and foremost, we're sitting on an international airport where we don't employ live munitions. And, of course, this mission called for us to be armed with not only live ammo for the gun, but also missiles. So we had to get approval from the airport initially to put aircraft on alert sitting near the runway in the southeast end of the airport, which we got. We had to build a building to house all of the men and women who would not only fly but service those aircraft, put in all the communications infrastructure, and have those aircraft ready to go. And within just a matter of days, working 24/7, the great men and women of that wing were able to miraculously put that operation in place. And we actually set live alert at Tucson International Airport for another couple of weeks until the site at Davis-Monthan could be taken out of mothballs and we could begin the process of moving over there.
And as I recall, there was a lot of collaboration that was truly amazing. You mentioned the airport, and we had other partners such as Raytheon out there at the airport. But echoing the words that Jimmy said, I think everybody came together. I know what, and I'll share my most shocking thing later, but what was the thing that about the incident that just surprised you the most, something that you never would have imagined you would have seen?
So on the afternoon of 9/11, in fact, in the middle of the night, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld gave me permission to fly my F-16 back to Tucson. And so early the morning of the 12th, I climbed into my aircraft in San Antonio. And as you know, that's a busy airport, lots of aircraft. The skies are crowded over America on a normal day. But as you recall, all the aircraft were grounded. When I broke ground that morning, I was the only aircraft airborne west of the Mississippi. And what followed was about an hour and a half of the most surreal flight I had ever had. The radar scope was clean. There was no chatter. There was little for me to do but contemplate what I was going to have to share with the wing, and that was our new mission. When I landed, I spoke to all the airmen in a hangar and told them that I was counting on them and all of us together would defend our nation as those that went before us. The most difficult conversation was with our pilots. When I had to share the fact that we would be asked potentially to shoot down an American airliner filled with American citizens. That was a bit of a somber room as well, but it speaks to the professionalism of the men and women top to bottom in our military, and particularly the 162nd Fighter Wing is uniquely outstanding in my view, that we were able to do all of that.
Now, Ron, you call him General, I call him Ron. I'm sorry. General Schuman.
It's okay, Ben.
Ignorant civilian here, but the question I was going to ask you, because that, we train our men and women to follow orders, and that had to have been the most difficult order to give, and I agree with you. I think it speaks highly to the men and women in those cockpits that they knew their duty, and they knew that it might come down to that, but to maybe save more lives, and especially being here, right here where we are, 50 miles north of an international border, who knew where the next strike might be coming from?
Ben, you know that during the time we were sitting alert, not just our wing, but dozens of others around the country, there were thousands of scrambles that we took off engaged aircraft that were flying into airspace they shouldn't be. were experiencing other difficulties that could potentially lead to us having to hear the order in our helmet to fire and shoot down an aircraft that's full of friendly American citizens. It is a tribute to our armed forces, top to bottom, that in all the years we have done that, we've never once fired a missile or shot the gun in defense of our country. If you think about it, there was never a follow-on second attack. 9/11 became a unique incident unto itself, and the men and women of the armed forces of this country were empowered to make the decisions that we need to make on the spot in the heat of battle, and everybody chose wisely. It is what separates our armed forces from others around the world, in my opinion.
General Shootman, thank you so much for sharing those thoughts with us. You know, that really speaks to the heart of what we're trying to accomplish here today. We're a little bit early, but people need to remember this on September 11th. Next year will be the 20th anniversary of these horrendous attacks, and we all must never forget.
Thank you, Ben, and thank you, Ted. It was great to be with you today.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, General. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia, Ted Maxwell, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back with more.
CBS.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, folks. Ben Buehler-Garcia and Major General Ted Maxwell sitting in for Bill here in the Green Things Socolo Village studio. We're talking about 9/11 today. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That number is 790-2040. Now, folks, I know I'm not as much a professional as Bill, but please don't wait till 1 minute before the show's over to call us. Go ahead and pick up the phone and call us now. Our next guest is someone I've had just a real pleasure to work with over the years. Last year, over 3,000 Arizonans climbed 2,071 steps to memorialize the brave first responders who ran toward danger on that fateful day, and the military families who picked up the torch following those attacks. Joining us to share more about this special event is Rob Brandt. Rob is the president of the 9/11 Tower Challenge Foundation. Rob, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Okay, so I've got a sergeant to my left and a general to my right. I'm not quite sure what to do next. Rob, this event, the 9/11 Tower Challenge, started off in Tucson 9 years ago. Just a small group of SWAT officers and some Tucson firemen. And it's grown to, last year, 3,300 climbers in Tucson, Phoenix, and Flagstaff. You think it might be one of the largest events of its type using exclusively those groups in the country?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ben. We've been very blessed. We started this on the 10th anniversary of the attacks of September 11th, and it was really just wanting to do something to recognize that, hey, it's been 10 years. We can't forget. And your traditional memorials are somber and dedicated to the memory of people, and they're fascinating. We wanted to have a memorial that remembered everybody, but also kind of had a fired up, we're survivors as Americans attitude. So we wanted to make it more of a challenge, and we decided let's do a stair climb on that on the 10th anniversary. And like you said, we had about 120 people on the first one, and over the years we've grown, and we've been blessed to have, like you said, last year about 3,300 people.
And Rob, I think it's important to recognize, because I see these are, and I use the air quotes, interesting times, certainly. The foundation board of directors, events are being canceled all across the country because of COVID. But the board of directors, it was very clear, was it not, that this is not the event you cancel. It's got to go forward in some shape or form. And so it's going to be a little bit different this year. Describe to our listeners what is going to be happening this year.
Yeah, I think we're living in the era of COVID, so we recognize that having a large group of people together to do a climb was probably not going to work. So we decided to do a virtual climb, and basically we're going to have our participants, when they sign up, they agree that sometime during the week of September 11th, which is next week, that they will do the 2,071 step climb somewhere, somehow during that week. The 2,071 steps is the height of the World Trade Center. That's what our number's always been. So that's why our climb has been 2,071 steps. We've had good response. We knew we'd probably be not getting the numbers we had last year, but our goal this year was to get to at least 1,000. And it looks like we're going to reach that goal for participants. It's still open if people want to register. And the participants will still get their event t-shirt, their challenge coin. Something we added last year was a memorial badge, which is a badge with one of the fallen members of the fire department, police department, and even we added the Pentagon this year, the first responders and the folks that were killed at the Pentagon on 9/11. So it's a cool thing, and the badges have been really impressive. People really like carrying somebody in memory with them while they do the climb.
Rob, being the eternal optimist, to me, one of the advantages of this prior participation in the climb was limited really to those first responders and their families, or military members and their families and their supporters to some extent. There was just the practical logistics. And I mean, Ted, you've been there. When you see 2,000, 3,000 people climbing those stairs all together in one group in Arizona Stadium, it's inspiring.
Well, and I want to jump in here and tell Rob that I really appreciate what him and his board have done, because, you know, the first event was a lift, and they had their, you know, 100 and some odd folks climbing it, and then they've just expanded it. And the thing that it's done is it provides people the memory. And it hit me hard the first time I did, and I walked it in a flight suit, and it was hot. And I've got firefighters, I've got police officers, I've got other people next to me in their full gear that they're going to go in and fight the fire, carrying the bottles, carrying that. And every year you're up in the game just a little bit. And the addition of the pictures on the badges and the names throughout the stadium, it just sinks in to reality. And it's a reminder. And it's a reminder that there were people running towards the danger, not going away from it. And to see the age groups that have been showing up, the different organizations, the different people, it's just been truly an amazing reminder that we can be, like Jimmy said, that same day, September 12th, 2001, we can be that way again. Because we're all living in an incredible country and we can't forget those kind of things.
Yeah, Rob, something I want to mention is that to me, the advantage is now really folks anywhere can do this climb and support, you know, support the memory of those that gave their lives and really the military families who continue to carry this burden. I mean, this is the longest war we've ever fought in our history, the global war on terror. But I want to emphasize, I'm old, I'm fat, I've got a kickball injury on my knee. I can't do 2,071 steps, but you know what? I do what I can.
Absolutely.
And same thing, folks, you can go out there, you can walk around the block, you can get on your stair climber, get a group of friends together and, you know, do some push-ups, just do something to not only just to memorialize these folks, but then, Rob, talk a little bit about the beneficiaries and what the proceeds of this event are going to.
So absolutely, Ben. Your first point, that's why we made it a challenge. It's not a race. It's not something where there's a finish line. It's challenge yourself and try to complete the challenge. And you're doing it in memory of September 11th. And not only the folks that lost their lives that day, but also those in the military, the first responders community that are keeping us safe. We've lost over 8,000 of our young men and women in the military in the war on terror. Over 58,000 of them have been wounded in the war on terror. So we want to remember them too. So it is a memorial, but we do have a registration fee, and every penny of that registration fee goes to beneficiaries. And we have one group, we split it right down the middle. Half supports the first responder community and half supports the military community. Our beneficiary for the first responder side of the house is the 100 Club of Arizona. It's unique in the fact that it supports police, fire, first responder community at every level, both the local, state, and even federal level. So they'll go out if, like, unfortunately, we had the tragedy last week where a total police officer was killed in the line of duty. The 100 Club was with that family within the hours of that happening, giving them a check to help get them through that initial couple weeks till things start to settle down and they get the benefits from their fallen. And on the military side of the house is the Boulder Crest Foundation. They have a location in Virginia and they have a location here in Southern Arizona. It's a rehabilitation for many members of our military community that are trying to come back from injuries and from both the physical and the ones you don't see, the PTSD, and give them some skill sets and some ability to cope with that. And we are going to, so proceeds from this year's event go to support both those organizations.
And folks, you can find out more, visit 911towerchallenge.org, correct, Rob?
That's correct. Tower Challenge Foundation, sorry.
Sean called the Rincon Ventures Buckmaster Live Line. Sean, what have you got to share? Sean, we've got about a minute. Do you want to come on now, or do you want to hold till after the break?
I'll hold till after the break.
Okay. From that accent, I'm guessing Sean maybe had some personal experience with the folks. And
Sean's a good supporter. We know Sean pretty good.
And actually, Sean, folks, you want to hear this because Sean's doing, I mentioned folks and do some unique stuff, create some opportunities. Sean hopefully is going to share that with us here when we come back from the break. Again, Rob Brandt, 9/11 Tower Challenge Foundation, General Ted Maxwell also sitting in studio. We're talking about 9/11 and why it should never be forgotten. Rob, when we come back, I want you also to talk, in addition with our chat with Sean, I want to talk about an event that you added several years ago that involves having new folks enlist in the military and just what a powerful addition that was to the program as well. Folks, this is your guest host, Ben Buehler-Garcia, sitting in with General Ted Maxwell here on the Buckmaster Show. Give us a call, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, folks. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill. I'm joined by Major General Ted Maxwell here in the Green Thing Socolo Village studio. Feel free to join the conversation by calling us at 790-2040. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County. New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors, so why not plan a trip to beautiful Silver City? Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, there's lots of healthy outdoor adventures to be found in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including hiking the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Gentlemen, I want to play something for you and get your reaction before we go to Sean.
So September 11th, the one day of hell. As they pitch up the pieces, they pick up their guns and headed off to war. Our flag lay there tattered after old glory failed. But we all stood united after one day of hell.
That song is written and performed by Dave Bray. Dave Bray is a Navy veteran. He now goes by the name. He's the Rock and Roll Patriot. That song, One Day of Hell, is not going to be released to the public until tomorrow. But thanks to Dave and Becky, we got to do a little early preview for the folks here on the Buckmaster Show. Is that Rob, Ted, what do you feel that sort of encapsulates what we all may be feeling?
Well, it sounds, I can't wait to listen to the whole song. It sounds like he does capture that moment. It was one day of hell, but it brought, Jimmy mentioned it. You heard General Schutman talk about it. Rob's now continue to have this happen. It brought everybody together. We were one country. We were united. And why the 9/11 challenge is a way of reflection and remembrance. It's like we talked about off the air. It's really uplifting. It's uplifting then because you realize that everybody still is willing to come together, not forget that, and remember. It's going to be a different challenge 30 or 40 years from now, because right now some of the young men and women that are enlisting in our military service to go serve, they weren't even born on 9/11. So,
good point. Good point. Sean, you've been very patient with us. Sean Fund, you called us here on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate Live Line. You were doing something a little different and special on September 11th, huh, Sean?
Yes. First of all, Ben, I'd like to thank you. And it's nice to hear Ted Maxwell's voice on the radio. I haven't seen him in a little bit, but I know both of you stand up for the military, or more importantly, our nation and what is right in this world of ours. The 9/11 Challenge Foundation, I approached and I asked if we could do something unusual. And the unusual thing was that I would do the Tower Challenge. I joined the Tucson Strength Fitness Club, or gym, because all the other gyms in the state of Arizona, unfortunately, were closed. So we'll leave that political element out of it. But what I asked the owner, Danny, to do was let me use the Stairmaster and complete the equivalent number of floors on the Stairmaster on 9/11, and that's what we're planning to do. So what we did through the 9/11 Tower Challenge was create a page. You'll see a short synopsis of the people I carry with me on 9/11, Sergeant John Coghlan, my childhood friend, Police Officer John Cortazzo, also a childhood friend, both from my hometown. Daniel Shore, who was a fireman in New York, a co-worker's brother, who unfortunately got killed by a jumper when before the first building fell. And then Vincent Dance, who is also a friend of a cousin, of one of my close friends from high school. So it brings it to a point of being very personal for me. And I wanted to demonstrate and not do something virtual, but do something actual physically and allow to create a page and allow people to read about what I'm trying to do on behalf of the 9/11 Tower Challenge and ask people to support me. I did a page on my personal page on Facebook. I did one on a Tower Challenge where you can donate. None of the money is coming to me. It's all going to the 9/11 Tower Challenge, and this is my way of giving back. And you gentlemen who have been on before me have very articulately said that this was a day that America came together, and it certainly was. And even though 20 years later we're acknowledging what happened in this realization, the one thing that should be underlined multiple amounts of time and has already been said is America came together. We have the ability as Americans to come together regardless of what the strife is, what is going on in our respective nation at the time, and come together and accomplish great things. We need to reset that mindset in everyone.
Sean, very well spoken. Thank you for calling us. And Rob, I believe there's a link on the 9/11 Tower Challenge Facebook page to Sean's climb. So folks, and Sean makes a good point. All of it, this point forward, it all goes to these charities, and the needs of these families has not gone away under COVID.
No, absolutely. And you're right on the link to Sean's fund. And we want to try to, we've always, since we founded this foundation, has always made sure we've had been blessed with great sponsors that cover all our operating costs. So everything raised by the participants, every single penny, and it's always been the case, goes to the beneficiaries. So we've been blessed there. And I can only echo what Sean says. Even here in Tucson, we had a member of the Tucson Police Department, Brian McDonald, who served here in Tucson as a police officer, got homesick for New York, went back, joined the New York Police Department, was part of ESU-1. And he was killed responding to the attacks of 9/11. He died at Ground Zero. And so it has a lot of ties to Tucson. We have a lot of ties across the country. So we encourage everybody to, if you're not going to participate or you can't participate, that's fine. But at least take a few minutes next Friday, September 11th, and remember all the sacrifices that everybody and continue to make. just a month before the 10th anniversary of September 11th, there was a helicopter. It was called Extortion 17 in Afghanistan. And on board, there were 38 members of the military, including 25 Navy SEALs. And they were shot down, and it was the largest loss of life, and it's still the largest loss of life in the war in Afghanistan. And about a month later, at a change of command ceremony back at Virginia Beach for the Navy Special Warfare's unit, the incoming commander pretty much said it all when he referred to stuff like 9/11 and the sacrifices that our military still makes. He said, those guys, they gave it all. The rest of us, we have more to give. And that's kind of been our guiding principle is you can sit back and relax and enjoy the freedoms, but if you can give, then give.
Yes.
Sean, once again, thanks for calling. We're going to wrap the show up. And again, folks, look for the Sean Fund on the 9/11 Tower Challenge Facebook page. Sean, we look forward to seeing what you're doing on September 11th. And thanks for listening to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, Rob, for the opportunity to do this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean.
Ted, we're coming to the end here. Your thoughts, you were commanding people. You were wearing the uniform at the time.
Well, it's like I said, I think it's a day that everybody remembers exactly where they were when it happens. And I just agree with Rob. Just take an opportunity next Friday to remember those who did sacrifice, those who ran to the towers and gave their lives in a lot of cases, but also those who supported all of them and have really supported the cause since. But do not forget that 9/11 was followed by 9/12. And that's an important day to remember as well.
Rob?
I think the general summed it up best, absolutely. I always try to remember President Kennedy's inaugural address where he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that's kind of how we try to model it, is, you know what, let's do something. Let's not make it about us.
And I tell you, Sean, what strikes me, gentlemen, from this conversation, the preparation going forward to September 11th, these, as I mentioned earlier, are intriguing times, but that tragedy in 2001 did show what we can do as a nation when we do pull together, regardless of the situation. Where folks are doing this Tower Challenge individually and separate, but together we are stronger. And this is just a great example of what we can do. And I encourage folks, pause, think about it that morning, and let's not forget. Let's not let our nation forget. Let's not let these young people forget. As they're moving forward, what happened and how that forever changed our lives.
And I just echo that exactly. And don't ever forget that anything you can give is a gift. Do what you can. And so do what you can on this memory day. Get out and do some steps, do some walk. Exercise is good for all of us on top of it. But when you have a chance to make a difference in somebody's life, make that difference.
Outstanding. Rob, you look like you want to say one more thing.
I guess I would just like to point out, for those that may be interested in doing the climb, there may be a group, because we're not officially endorsing them, that is doing the climb at Tumamoc on Friday, September 11th. There's also a group doing it at the Pennington Garage downtown on Friday, September 11th. Both times are about 7 o'clock in the morning. If you feel motivated and you want to join the group, please do so.
Outstanding. And don't forget to visit 911towerchallengefoundation.org. Rob, Ted, all the guests, thank you so much, folks. Thanks for listening to the Buckmaster Show. This has been Ben Bueller Garcia, Ted Maxwell, guest hosting Bill. Take care. You can find this podcast, buckmastershow.com. Take care.